Hello, and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature, and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Hi, I'm Georgina Pennington. I'm Group Head of Creative Direction at Singita. Singita has just celebrated its 30th birthday, and the story began on a piece of land in the Sabi Sand where Singita Ebony Lodge was built in 1993, way ahead of its time. Many of the staff at Ebony Lodge still work there today, and Ebony is where I cut my teeth. It was the first lodge that I visited 15 years ago now, and I just remember being a fresh Capetonian girl landing in the middle of the wilderness and all the staff really helping me to adjust to this new environment, an incredible lodge that I'd found myself in. Ebony Lodge is the keeper of many beautiful stories and memories and is a beacon for our 100-year purpose. And as creatives in the professional teams, we had the exciting yet somewhat daunting task of evolving it a little bit this year. Ebony is currently under construction, opening later this year. And in this process, we really discovered that people are very protective of Ebony, and rightly so. So as a result, this was a very gentle and respectful process of the lodge, of the history, of the staff, yet at the same time moving Ebony into more modern times. I'm here today with my good friend Megan Hess. She's not only a good friend of mine, but an old friend of Singita. She's a partner in interior design at HK Studio, who are working on the interior archie of Ebony, alongside longtime partners Gap Urban Designers and Cecile and Boyds. And in fact, Megan worked at Singita many, many years ago. So hi, Megan. Thank you very much for joining us today to chat about the Ebony project. And just for some background, could you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and HK Studio?
Of course. Well, firstly, hi, George, and thank you for the introduction. So as you said, I'm Megan from HK Studio. I have an interior design studio along with my business partner, Andrea Kleinluch. We have studios based in Cape Town and Johannesburg. We are very privileged to work with a diverse range of clients, which keeps our work very exciting, including Singita. Working with a diverse range of clients keeps us on our toes, but it also allows us to constantly pivot in the interior design world, which is very important. For us, George, it is very important as a business to design impactful spaces, spaces with meaning. It's important for us to create thoughtful spaces that are, of course, beautiful, but also function well ergonomically and in every sense of the word.
We started talking about this Ebony project before COVID, and although we have evolved it and nudged forward a little bit, like moving the wine cellar, we are paying homage to the original lodge, our matriarch, we affectionately call her. And Meg, how did this play out on the design approach taken in certain aspects of the lodge, thinking about our modern guests in the space too?
Well, George, this is such an important topic to touch base on, because design-wise, it was so key for Ebony to feel like Ebony. Ebony is obviously the founder lodge with a huge amount of history and a huge sense of warmth. And this played a key role in how we approached the design, because we had to respect this, we had to keep it, but we did need to weave in a modern, updated sense of design to keep it feeling relevant and to keep it up to date with current trends, from technology to materials to every sense of the word.
And I think that really plays into, you know, Ebony being our oldest lodge, we wanted to create a space that was incredibly beautiful and, as you say, paid homage to Ebony and the personality of Ebony, but also evolve our guest experience. You know, we are welcoming in new generations. Mm-hmm. We are into our lodges. And as a result, we need to move with the times and evolve, but not alienate the old to make way for the new and vice versa. So I think with Ebony, it's been a beautiful balancing act in creating a space that still has the personality of Ebony, but is sort of nudged forward to make everybody feel welcome and everybody feel comfortable in that environment. Would you agree?
George, you are quite right. Working on Ebony has been fantastic, learning the narrative of the space. We are privileged enough to work with Cecile and Boyd, who are the original design custodians to Ebony. And because of this, they know all the secrets, all the stories, all the narratives to the space. Each wallpaper, each painting on the wall, each piece of furniture has something wonderful to share, which has been added to the space over time. Watching them weave it into the new Ebony with contemporary new pieces is equally as wonderful. And for us, as working on the interior architecture, making sure through finishes, shop fitting, lighting, that we connect everything, the old to the new, modern to the antique, I think it is going to provide many moments of surprise and delight for guests as well as the staff who work there, because there is really a sense of old in the space.
So, you know, in terms of what you've just said, Meg, thank you. I think it is incredible because it shows how there's this homage to history paid, but this introduction of new and the beautiful balance that's found between the two. In terms of your role with the interior architecture, and as you said now, the shop fitting and lighting, etc., what would you say the sort of evolved aesthetic looks like in terms of, I guess, material finishes, color tones, and how would you describe that?
When working with Singita, we always pride ourselves in authentic, real, honest materials. Everything needs to feel authentic, but everything also needs to come from a responsible background. We try to use materials that in one way or another are responsible, as well as locally found or locally crafted. Because of this, we have the great joy and the great privilege of working with many different local craftsmen, from artists, makers, shop fitters, to designers. Palette-wise, what can be expected is calming colors, but they're still fresh and crisp, that bring a lot of light into the space. I know that was key for us, was to lighten up Ebony, give it a fresh look and feel, and that has definitely been achieved or being achieved at the moment. It is also important for us to work with textures. Because we are working with a calming palette, it's important in every touch point to have texture, which really layers in the personality and the warmth into the space.
Okay, so with that in mind, is there sort of a favorite area of this project or a favorite room of this project that you kind of find yourself being more attracted to?
I hate to say it, but at the moment I do have a favorite. I must say, it always evolves and always changes as the project goes on. But for me, it's the wine cellar. The wine cellar is magnificent. It is full of narrative. It's full of warmth. Every single detail has been thought about. Each little label, each shelf, it's been so purposefully created. And as corny as it might sound, it's really been created with so much love. We have done a lot of research on wine cellars and wine cellar design. I know Joe has also had an influence on the space and sent through a lot of imagery on what he liked, which has really helped guide us. We've got beautiful materials. We're working with a rustic French oak, which brings in great warmth and great texture. We're working with brass and steels and leathers. And it has so many wonderful little surprise moments.
And I think for me, one of the most exciting spaces, I was wondering if you were going to say this, was also the conservation room. I think it's been quite a bold move of ours with this project. And for those listeners who've seen Ebony before, been to Ebony before, the wine cellar used to be in the very center of the lodge. Mm-hmm. And with the sort of spatial rearrangement that we've done, we've created the conservation room is now sitting in the very center of the lodge. And it's got a beautiful feeling and mood to it, sort of sitting literally at the heart of what we do within the space. Could you describe the conservation room a little bit and sort of what people can expect from that space?
Of course. The conservation room probably actually does equal the wine cellar when I think about it. It's beautiful. It's got wonderful volume. You enter a space that just feels light and completely generous. But at the same time, it's warm and comforting and comfortable. There's wonderful different moments within the room to have different experiences. There's a desk you can sit quietly and research, look at books. There is a beautiful bigger table that you can share a moment. And then, of course, there is the lounge, you know, a more comfortable lounge setting within it to relax in. And then there are beautiful display moments, be it on shelves or cork boards. I really think, and I know, George, your team's working a lot on this, but what will be displayed? What is part of the history of the lodge, but also the whole area? And for me, this is really exciting when you start looking at the history and being able to, in your own time, explore it. So yeah, I think it's going to be a beautiful moment.
And it's interesting, actually, in that our conservation rooms, we've got one now at Kratonda in Rwanda, which you know well because you worked on that too, and we'll touch on that just now. We've got one at Pamashana in Zimbabwe, and now one at Ebony. So it's incredibly amazing to see how this concept has sort of bloomed and blossomed from that which where it was born in 2019 in Rwanda to sort of landing now at Ebony. And what I'm really excited about is the information that will also be in that space on our various projects that we're working on. We work with the Singita Lowveld Trust, with Panthera on leopard conservation. And so there's going to be incredible pieces of information that guests can look at in that space. And I think also it's going to be an incredible space for the guiding team to use. You know, I think, you know, in terms of research, in terms of extending the game drive and into sort of a physical space, that space, I think, will really come alive. And I sort of have dreams about the fact that it's, you know, it's adjacent to the dining room. You know, you could have beautiful, informative evenings in that space, speaking about conservation of various species or various pieces of land, and then moving through to a beautiful dinner. So I think it's going to be a beautiful multi-use space. Yeah, going to be used excellently as it possibly can.
I think you're right, George. I think that the conservation room is really going to be core and centered to the lodge, because it's a space that you can get as much or as little from it as you want. You can interact, your guests can interact however they choose. And that, in a guest experience, is incredible.
Absolutely. I think it's why we've introduced it, is seeing the interaction of that space in Rwanda at Singita Kratonda, and how guests really can make of it what they would like. You know, they could spend hours in there reading all the information or not at all. Mm. But we've seen that they actually have, you know, more often than not, the time is spent in that space. And so tell us, Meg, you've been a friend of ours for a while. You've worked on us with Kratonda. How was that experience for you? Did you, you know, it's obviously quite a while now opening Kratonda. It must be interesting to have worked on that and then to be here now at Ebony in South Africa.
Completely. Kratonda was probably one of the greatest privileged projects I have been able to do. It was a remarkable experience from my first site visit. Just seeing the space, I think what is remarkable about Singita is not only the buildings and the interiors, but it's the landscape in which these buildings sit. And for me, Kratonda is breathtaking. I remember going there and there was absolutely nothing on the land, and just my eyes filled with tears because it was so emotional just being there in the environment. And then watching this building grow from absolutely nothing. Kratonda sits, as you know, in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, that the team had to build roads to get materials to site. And it was remarkable to watch the local builders create absolute magic. And it's something I don't think people realize, that it really came from nothing. And that's what makes it so unique. And because of that, using local brickwork, local stones from site, and it made it really exciting. And then to what it is now, which is the most beautiful, loved lodge. I think everybody who goes there falls in love with it. Yeah, so it was the greatest joy of a project.
And, I mean, we'll finish our work on Ebony at the end of March, opening sort of April this year. That's going to be sort of a race to the finish line, which we like to do to ourselves. But what other exciting projects have you recently worked on or are starting this year that you'd like to share with us?
Well, as you know, I am lucky enough to be working on another Singita, that is Malele in Tanzania, which is is going to be a showstopper. Again, as you know, but for everyone else, it's a private villa. And it's really exciting because it's completely different to Quitanda and completely different to Ebony. And I think that's one of the amazing things about Sangeeta is that every space is so unique and so different. But what's really remarkable is that we were briefed to make it as local as possible from South Africa and Africa. And it's been a great joy to actually do that. I would say it's about 95% from Africa, mostly South Africa. Every piece of art is African. Each piece of furniture is from either made in South Africa or other places in Africa, but mostly South African. It's been really, really exciting to work with local designers and makers on this. Because of this, it's taken its time to make everything. I know with load shedding and all the challenges we have here, it's watching the makers has been a process, but a really remarkable process to be a part of. Yeah, so that's probably our other big exciting one with you, which I love.
It is interesting, you know, we are, as we have responsibility as a brand, to, you know, source locally wherever possible and have designed locally wherever possible. And I think to your point about load shedding, and there's an agility and a grit that comes with that. You know, you have to sort of make a plan and, you know, you've got a timeline, your lodge is opening on the said date. You can't disappoint those guests who are planning this trip to Africa. So it is this agility and this grit is something that I find really remarkable in the design process. And I think something that a lot of people also may not necessarily realize. You design something, you create an idea, and then you have this vision and you go along the road to get that thing made. And then halfway down, you kind of have to make another plan sometimes. So it's interesting. It's sort of creativity on top of creativity, I guess, or redesign on top of design sometimes.
You're 100% right, George. I think maybe also subconsciously, that's why I noted it, because so often we only see the finished spaces, which are beautiful, but behind every single item in those spaces is a narrative within a narrative. I think that's one of the strengths we have. And I must say it's something that's been so wonderful as a design studio to align with a client on. And I know for Sangeeta, supporting local skills is key, but also for us. I mean, it is what we can do to improve. If we can support craftsmen, makers, artists, what a wonderful place it will become. And having said all of that, we will see it in Malele and we will see it in Ebony, but I really believe our local skill and our local talent is as strong as it is anywhere internationally. In Ebony, the shop fitting is all being made in South Africa, and it is, from what I've seen so far and what it will become, it is exquisite. I think it's really something we can all be proud of.
I agree with you totally. I think there's this resurgence of creativity and braveness and sort of an almost an urgency to this ability that we have within the continent, within South Africa and the continent. And I think it's been an incredible, I can sort of assimilate it to when we did Sangeeta Mara River Tent at camp last year. It was incredible to work with the talent and with the skills. And, you know, it's so available. It can be done. It's just getting it done, you know. So I think it's a very exciting space to be in. Megan, you mentioned that all your shop fitting is being made locally in South Africa, which is incredible. I really sort of look forward to seeing it and seeing it installed. And I think maybe we should just talk a little bit more about Ebony and sort of what really is happening to Ebony and to the main lodge. We sort of touched on it previously in our conversation, but, you know, what is it that's happening?
Main Lodge is going to be a complete makeover. So many of the spaces are changing placement from the dining room, the conservation room, the wine cellar, and the living spaces, which I think is very, very exciting. And within all those spaces, we are, of course, building new structure, creating new shop fitting for all the spaces. We are working with actually three different shop fitters on this project in order to get the quality in time. Timing and quality, which are always our biggest struggles. And as you noted, we're making everything in South Africa, in Cape Town and Johannesburg, and of course in the area of the Sabi Sands, which is great. Probably my favorite moments within the shop fitting is actually the smallest details. It's the handles. We have a beautiful African adobe-inspired handle that we're using throughout the lodge, which is made out of solid brass, which we are aging. But the form of it and the shape of it is so beautiful. It actually feels like a piece of jewelry, which we all love. And it's being made by an artist in Cape Town, which is fabulous. And then we have these other wonderful moments with lighting on the shop fitting, which we're working with also another maker in Cape Town on custom light fittings, which we're clipping onto the shop fitting, which I love. And I think that connects to what we were saying earlier, that it's all about the details. I mean, it has to be about the details. Everything feels thoughtful and considered, and you really experience this in Ebony.
And I think, you know, that very importantly flows through into our guest experience. You know, with this reconfigured mm-hmm. main space, it's going to become, there's going to be a new flow and a new way that the space is used. And I think for a lot of the mm-hmm. staff who've been there in excess of 25, 26 years, learning, you know, mm-hmm. that the door that they moved through for so many years is now completely moving to the side. It's going to be a really interesting but very refreshing experience, I think, that, you know, we're spending a lot of our time on this guest experience in the space, you know, given the beautiful detail that you and Cecile and Boyd and Gap have created. You know, we get given this incredible new space, and then we need to bring it alive. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're really excited about that. And I know the staff who work at Ebony are really excited about that. And an interesting thing when you do a sort of redesign or refocus is the new energy that gets breathed in with it. From a guest experience, from a staffing point of view, that's all refreshed at the same time too, which is going to be incredible and result in a very authentic, gentle evolution to Ebony. To, you know, welcome the old, welcome the new, welcome those guests who've come to us before, and welcome those who've never been to us before. And I also think it's important to note that little changes that are also happening in the room. We are always kept on our toes. We sort of very much listen to guest feedback when it comes to our lodges and you know, what they may want or may seek within the rooms that we may not have. So I think, you know, there are importantly edits happening to those spaces to sort of meet these needs and to take this feedback seriously so that, you know, whilst we are closed and doing a renovation, all these little elements are looked at the same time, maintenance elements too. So, you know, I think it's an enormous project all in all. And I think when we open again, it's probably going to feel like Ebony is brand spanking new. Elements of it are, elements of it aren't.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly that, George. And I think that's why it's so wonderful that with all the newness and the fresh approach, there are the pieces with history that are being kept in that will make it feel familiar for the staff, for the guests. And I think it's really going to be a perfect combination when done.
I remember when we were last doing Ebony, I think we did it in 2016. There was, and remember before we closed Ebony last time, you and your husband came to Ebony back when it was orange and red and yellow and the windows were tiny.
We did.
So you've been with us from the very beginning of Ebony Lodge.
I have. My husband and I visited actually on our honeymoon, which was wonderful, just after we got married, which was a really, really special treat, especially after, you know, such a busy and festive time to be in a space that's so calming and feels so comfortable. It changed us within days. We were, you know, but Ebony's very special because of that and just because of the history. But experiencing Ebony as a guest and also then becoming part of the design team, yeah, it's a really interesting and exciting experience because it's what you said, you know, once you've stayed in a room, what can you do to make it better? What can you do to lift it without changing it? And I think guests are in for an exciting refresh with it. I think so many of the sort of moments that your team have wanted to do over the years is getting done to now. And of course, Main Lodge is going to be a whole new look and feel.
We look forward to it too. Ebony Lodge, our original matriarch. And it's with some irony that we spent our sort of 30th year reimagining what we would do to Ebony. And Ebony Reimagined, our mothership, is getting sort of a facelift, which sort of this timing is not lost on us.
Yeah. How is your team feeling about it? Because obviously it is the founder, large as we spoke about it, full of so much history. How is your team feeling about it? Not the design team, because I know you all excited and caught up in it, but the rest of your team, I'm sure it's a sensitive one.
It's a good question. I think often in the beginning when you're talking about we're going to do something at Ebony or at any lodge and everybody's, but why? Nothing's wrong with it. It's perfect. We love it the way that it is. So always when we embark on these projects, there's a very, you know, we take everybody along the journey with us as best we can so that there's an understanding to the why, which then really gives an appreciation for the what when the what actually happens. But with Ebony, people are very protective of Ebony. I think because she's the mothership. She was our first commercial lodge, as I said, which opened in 1993. And as I said, some of the staff from 1993 are still there. So they've seen, you know, the various evolutions of Ebony. They've seen the various redesigns or refreshes that we've done. They've seen rethatching when it needs to be rethatched. I think everybody's very excited. Don't get me wrong. Looking forward to the newness.
But nervous.
And with the newness comes an updated food concept and a bar deli and the conservation room and the moving of the wine cellar and the deck reconfiguration. Yeah. So we're going to spend a lot of time with the team sort of going through the flow of the space and making sure that everybody is comfortable in the new space, confident in the new space, understands the why behind the new spaces, because I think if you know the why, as I said just now, the what makes so much more sense.
Completely.
So yeah, it's mixed. It's anticipation. It's excitement. It's, are we going to get this done on time? But we always have that one. And so, yeah, bottom line is it's positive. It's been an interesting journey.
Yeah. No, it's nerve-wracking. I think with all the most personal projects come the nerves, and that makes complete sense. It's interesting also with working with the design team with Cecile and Boyd, but also Gap. Gap is, of course, led by Sally, who is fantastic. But they've also been part of the smaller facelifts over time. And hearing these and the discussions or conversations, one or two arguments about what to change, what not to change, has been really interesting as an outsider who hasn't been involved in the project, you know, any design moments with the project prior to this. So I've kind of loved hearing all the history to it in every single sense.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. It's, you know, I think we're on version 8 of this project's outlay and plan. I think Sally from Gap presented the other day, and she kind of just reminded us that we've been through 8 versions of this to finally land where we've landed. And I think, you know, that can be quite a time-consuming process, but I guess you end up landing on something that everybody deeply believes in. So, you know, the process can sometimes take quite a long time, but at least the product at the end of the day is sort of deeply interrogated for what it is.
And I bet you probably in many ways circled back to the original thought process. So much of design, you laughing because that is what happens. You know, you go through all these different versions and changes, and actually probably your first thought is your best thought because it's everybody's gut response at the beginning of a project.
Yeah, I am laughing because Sally's going to kill us when she hears us say that we've done all of these circles to come back to the beginning. But you're right. It's instinct, you know, it's instinctually what feels right for the space. But I guess it's great to interrogate every option and then to land where you land. And hopefully where we've landed is in the right space.
Completely. And I think that's always the process with design, is going through the different versions. But gut feeling and gut instinct also align so well for me with Singita as a brand, because so much of Singita is about gut reaction and feeling and taking it back to simplicity and honesty and integrity in spaces, in food, in all your wonderful guest experiences. So it is fantastic to be part of that cycle and go back to exact right thing that begins, you know, first conversation that begins at a project.
Well, thank you very much, Meg. I think we've been very fortunate to have you as part of that cycle. And I think we're all very much looking forward to what's coming with Ebony. And yeah, you know, come opening in April this year. And we welcome those who, you know, are listening to come to Ebony too. So thank you very much for your time, Megan. We really appreciate it. Thank you, audience, for listening to us today and another episode of Safari Conversations.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at singita.com.